entirely. The capacity to be superior is within each one of us, but it needs education, it needs practice, it needs training, it needs discipline, or at least disciplining. Such education, training, and disciplining is to be found in the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Yes, brothers, and in no other source. Our secular institutions can provide us with excellent secular education and training. They can lead us into many professions and occupations. But the divinely ordained way of life can only be taught and achieved through Islam, by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran Majid, in the above ayat, sets this out very, very clearly. Brothers, here again, I have made it extremely clear to you that the education, for the education and management of our characters, we need to know, to study, to know and to practice Quran and Sunnah. The contents, the knowledge that is contained therein. We must abide by those commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ways and teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fourth ayat coming up is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Sad, 38th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 26, Surah Sad, 38th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 26 says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow not your own lusts, your own desires, the course that your passion sets for you, and follow not your own lusts, for it will mislead you from the path of Allah. For verily, those who wander away from the path of Allah, they shall suffer a severe punishment because they have forgotten the day of reckoning, the day of hisab, the day of account. Allahu Akbar, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow not your own lusts. How clear the Quran states. Look, when the Quran says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ, do not follow your hawa. What does the Quran say? You must have the knowledge to know not to follow your own love, nafs. Where lies that knowledge? That knowledge lies in the knowledge of the Quran. Knowing what are the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in the Quran, so that we do not commit those excesses, sins and evils, either committed by former nations, of which Allah has directly instructed us, commanded us not to do. We should know that which is right from that which is wrong, and then we should avoid doing that which is wrong and only do those things that are permissible, allowable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And follow not your own lusts. That also ayat tells us very clearly, it is possible for a person not knowing Quran and Sunnah to follow his own lusts. Here we find that all those, or I'll put it this way, the majority of the peoples of the world follow their own nafs. They follow their lusts, they follow their hawa. Thousands amongst Muslims, nay, maybe even millions amongst the Muslims follow their own lusts. We know it. We see it daily. It's happening all the time. And follow not your own lusts is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this lust, if you follow it, it will mislead you from the path of Allah. And says Allah, for verily, those who wander away, those who walk away, wander away from the path of Allah, says Allah, those people shall suffer a severe punishment because they have forgotten the day of reckoning. What does this also say? All the time, brothers, always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we must remember and know that there is a day on which we will be called up and we will be held accountable. That is the day of account, the day of reckoning. Commentary coming up. The education of the heart is of great importance for the sake of moral character and upright bearing. Many are the major figures of history from among the unbelievers who consist of authors and thinkers and philosophers and painters and poets and even patriots whose contributions are many-sided but whose morals are bankrupt. Oh, brothers, I don't want to take names of such leading kuffars, kuffar peoples. But they are major figures of history and politics and economics and social field and so on. But their personal life, their moral life was totally corrupted, rotten to the core. They were no example for anybody. They had all the knowledge, great thinkers, great inventors, great philosophers, all right? Hundreds of names come to mind. All of them were rotten as far as their personal lives were concerned. They had no guidelines. No moral guidance, no moral rules, no teaching of character as such. The result is, they knew a lot, but they will burn in the fires of Jahannam. So, we are here, this is what I am saying. How is one able to control lust, if lust is not going to control us? Only through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this requires education. Education of Quran and education in Sunnah. By knowledge of the Sharia of Islam, this is the only way we can protect and guard ourselves. Practice restraint. Through fear and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can we guard ourselves and protect ourselves. If we do not fear Allah, if there is a lack of taqwa, and we do not remember all the time that we will have to appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the court of justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are lost, brothers. We are bound to follow our lusts. Through moral virtue and piety, all the time, continuously and constantly carrying out pious acts and deeds. If the heart is not under guidance and control, then such lack of discipline and faith in Islam will destroy the person by leading him astray. If accountability in Akhirah is not believed in, but absolutely, then character lacks objectivity and morals lack restraint. The end then is a disastrous one. Now I come to the fifth ayat of the Quran, which I'm going to quote in this final summary. And it goes like this, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 168 and 169, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you people, directly addressed to mankind, O mankind, O peoples of the world, O you people, O men and women of the world, especially addressed to the Muslimin, true believers, but Ya ayyuhan nas refers to entire humanity, believers and unbelievers included. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, eat of that which is lawful, which is halal for you, and which is good, pure and clean for you. Halal and tayyib. It is halal, it is good, it is pure, it is clean for you. That which exists on earth, that which grows on earth, that which is contained in earth, all that which is halal and tayyib, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوهُ, and follow not the footsteps of shaitan. For this shaitan is your open enemy. Verily he, shaitan, commands you towards that which is evil and that which is indecent. And that you should say that of Allah which you know not. Look at this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. O peoples, look at the two things Allah has specifically mentioned here. Halalan tayyiba, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban. Halalan tayyiban wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Eat of that which is halal, which is lawful and which is good and pure and clean on earth, and follow not the... Immediately halal and tayyib, pure things, halal things, is followed up by a warning. How there must be a very close connection between eating and drinking that which is halal and living a pure life with shaitan. You try to live a pure life and eat only and do things which are halal, and immediately shaitan sets upon you. Look at how close in revelation, in wahi of the Quran, this is contained. The connection between halalan, tayyiban, and shaitan. Says Allah immediately after telling us, be very, very particular. Eat only that which is permissible. Drink only that which is permissible. Under eating is contained drinking, obviously. Alright? And all the things that are halal and all the things that are pure, says Allah. And follow not the footsteps of shaitan, for this shaitan is your dangerous enemy. He is your open enemy. Verily shaitan commands you towards that which is evil. That's the one. Shaitan commands you towards that which is indecent, number two. And says Allah, and he also commands you to say things against Allah about which you have no knowledge. Kufr. To utter kufr, blasphemy. To say things with regard to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the control which Allah has over this entire creation of Allah. We say things which we do not know. Three things I mentioned here that shaitan causes people to do. All things pure, commentary coming up, all things pure and decent are hated by shaitan. When man decides on the lawful and the permissible, then shaitan sets about seducing him. Shaitan commands him through the power of evil suggestions, which we call waswas, to choose the forbidden things of the world, the impure things of the world, the indecent practices of this world. And this is done so as to mislead men and women of this world. Without Islamic character, without Islamic education, and with weak moral grounding and training, a person is bound to go wrong. A critically and a skeptically based approach to the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, which is founded on divine revelation, in other words, Quran and Sunnah is based on divine revelation, will induce people to say things about Allah and about the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and about the Sharia and about Islam that is blasphemous and heretical. Constraints on language and thinking is part of the disciplining and training character of Islam. Without it, people are likely to exceed the bounds of decency and tact. Brothers, that concludes the section on the five ayat of the Quran upon which I based the summary, which I gave after completing the meeting and the conversation between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan in Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Madina Munawwara. These are some of the ayat, a selection of only five from many, many ayat of the Quran, which I've chosen to give you, upon which the management of our characters was based. Now we continue and we look at certain ahadith. These above mentioned ayat of the Holy Quran show us the need of character education and character management for religious, social and moral development of ourselves and of our children. This rests largely on the purification and cleansing of our hearts and to a much lesser extent on the management of our minds. If the heart is contained, then the mind will find spiritual growth based on taqwa and ikhlas, provided the person conforms to Quran and conforms to Sunnah, and he follows meticulously the Sharia along the madhab of the Imam to which he belongs. This is essential, brothers. Today we hear the Ghair Muqallideen saying, what is this mazhab, fourth mazhab, and all there is four mazhabs that we must follow, and so forth, and so on. Brothers, you leave that line. You leave that line and you get out of it and see how quickly you will go astray. Those men are not to be lightly taken. People with the character, the piety, the hafizah, the taqwa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ash-Shafi rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh are not to be fooled and played around with. Such people do not exist today. Those people rendered us a service. All they have done, you and I can't understand everything in Quran and Sunnah. We do not know what are the laws and the ahkam that are contained in it. These imams were scholars. accepted so by the entire great learned Muslim communities of the past, whom we cannot even touch in piety and knowledge and practice. They accepted these four, and the four madhabs are with us. If we want to be obedient to Allah and His Rasul, we've got to accept one of those four madhabs, we've got to follow it. Then we follow the line which will lead us to success in dunya and akhirah. That is why I've put it down here. In the management and the training of our characters, we've got to be muqallideen. We've got to follow. Alright, that is one very major and important point. Growth and progress based on submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submission to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on Quran and Sunnah leads to social, moral, economic, agricultural, scientific, technological and political triumph. Subhanallah. I hope we could speak to Muslim politicians and economists and others and tell them this particular point. Quran and Sunnah leads to growth and success. Obedience to Allah and His Rasul, obedience to one of the four madhabs, meaning to the Sharia of Islam, this is what leads to. Brothers, believe in this absolutely what I'm telling you. This is what leads to social, moral, economic, agricultural, scientific, technological, and political triumph in this world, and to great breakthroughs such as the world has never seen or ever heard of. This is what we Muslims have achieved. And the early era of Islam, meaning the erstwhile Muslimin, proved it over many centuries. They ruled over the world for the longest period of any past civilization in the world. We have lost track and are seeking other ways towards success. In these times, many Muslim organizations, many Muslim groups, many associations, many peoples are seeking ways to succeed in this world different from the ways of Quran and Sunnah. There is, brothers, no other way. Only Allah Ta'ala and only Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have the answers and the solutions. And these are valid until the end of time. Until Yawmul Qiyamah, there will be no other way. Simple. It's right there in front of us. We only have to look at La ilaha illallah. We only have to search in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There lies the answers. The summary of the meeting between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan in the graveyard of Madina Munawwara was also based on many of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of which I give you a small selection. And these are, will come up one after the other as follows. I've got here a selection of about 20 ahadith, and I will go through them pretty fast. Some I have given in the original language, and some only in English, to make it easy to get through all of them. First hadith is as follows. Qala, inna shaytana yatamassalu min surati rajul fayati al-qawma fayuhadisuhum bil-hadith min al-kazib fayatafarraquna fayakulu al-rajul minhum sami'atu rajulan a'arif wajhahu wa la adri masmuhu yuhadisu aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is in the Sahih of Muslim. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, Shaitan adopts the shape and the likeness of a man. And Shaitan moves amongst the people with false stories. In other words, with lies and with deceit. Listen very carefully to the story. Some of you may be wondering, well, how is it that Shaitan adopted the shape of a man and came in Jannatul Baqi to speak to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Powerful hadith from Sahih Muslim. What does the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, look at the emphasis. Inna shaitana yatamassalu fi surati rajul. Verily, Shaitan adopts the shape and likeness of a man. And then he moves amongst the people with false stories, min al-kazib, with false stories, with lies and deceit, made up stories. The hadith continues, people listen to these false and invented stories of Shaitan, and then they disperse. People then go on to carry these tales to others, telling them that they heard such and such a story from a person whose face they know, but they do not know his name or his whereabouts. Conclusion of hadith. Commentary. This hadith, from a major source of reference, spells out very clearly and masterfully one of the ways shaitan uses to deceive and to lead Muslims astray and to mislead people by appearing to them as a sincere counselor, as a sincere advisor and informer. Shaitan's stories, however, are all lies and fabrications, and they are meant to sow discord and dissension amongst peoples and communities and to create disunity. No person is immune from shaitan's deceitful approaches and suggestions, and much havoc and discord on Muslim society is caused by shaitan's evident disguises. Now, is your mind settled that shaitan does take on the resemblance of a human being? He goes in and he adopts the shape of a human being, and then he comes and he says all kinds of made-up stories. Second hadith is as follows. Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bu'istu li'utammima husna al-akhlaq. This is in the Mu'atta of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, compilation of hadiths of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and the translation is as follows. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he had been sent with the mission of elevating and educating good manners to the level of perfection. In other words, he has been sent to this world, he has been appointed as a messenger of Allah Ta'ala, and what is his mission? His mission is to perfect good manners amongst the people. I've used the words here in the translation with the mission of elevating and educating the character, the good manners, to a level of perfection. In other words, this is our lifelong duty that we must continue. We are never too old to learn and to conform. If we are making a mistake and there are things, parts of our character which are not in conformity with the rules of Sunnah or the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we must get rid of them and we must conform. We must bring it into line with Sunnah. This is what was one of the major missions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Commentary. Does this hadith not show with sufficient merit how important an Islamically cultivated and educated character is to the goodness of a Muslim? And where else can we find such good character lessons but in the Sunnah teachings, instructions and habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Sunnah character maketh the man. Let there be no doubt about this. Therefore, we must develop a strong and a good moral character and moral will to keep shaitan away from us. Now let us look at more ahadith emphasizing the importance of an Islamic character and an Islamic will. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked, Sahaba-i-Karam in a majlis, they were seated around the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him this question. They said, what is the finest gift, what is the best gift given to man? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us, we would like to know, what is the greatest gift, the best gift, the finest gift that Allah has given to man? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, best moral character. He said, the finest moral character. That is what is the greatest gift from Allah to man. Look how important this is. Brothers, many of us go around, we do not have a righteous character. We have not disciplined our characters. We have not taught ourselves, not educated ourselves in management of character according to the lines taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a great defeat for us. And look what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. The greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to man is an elevated moral character. This hadith is in Tirmizi. Let's continue with other hadiths now. The Sahaba Ikram were once seated quietly in the presence of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They sat so quietly as if birds were perched on their heads. Everybody was silent. Then some people approached the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him, among the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, who is the dearest, who is the most beloved by Allah Ta'ala? Question. Among the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, in other words, all the believers, amongst these humble believers, amongst these slaves of Allah Ta'ala, who is the dearest, who is the most beloved? Who is the dearest to Allah Ta'ala, the most beloved by Allah Ta'ala? This is the question. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, the one who has the best moral character. The one who has the best moral character. This hadith is contained in a compilation of the kitab by Ibn Hibban. Once our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which is the Muslim who has perfect faith? Which Muslim has perfect faith? Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to this question as follows. He said, that one who has the best moral character, that person, that Muslim, that believer has perfect faith, who has the best moral character. Look at the affinity, the connection between faith and character. Alright, this hadith is in Tabrani, also a compilation of hadith. A hadith which is contained, the author was Tabrani, Mujam al-Saghir is the name of the kitab. Alright, let's continue. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba Ikram, shall I not tell you? This time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poses the question to the Sahaba Ikram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this habit, this was one of his ways, a sunnah way. Sometimes the Sahabas used to ask him questions to which he gave replies, and sometimes he used to raise a question and then give the reply to the Sahaba Ikram. On this occasion, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba Ikram, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, he said, shall I not tell you who amongst you is the most likable person to me? Shall I not tell you who is the most likable person amongst you to me? The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked them, shall I not, another question, one question followed by another question. Second question was as follows, shall I not tell you who amongst you will be the nearest to me on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment? Both questions are more or less the same. Shall I not tell you who amongst you is the most likable to me? Next question, shall I not tell you who amongst you will be the nearest to me, the closest to me on the day of judgment, on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paused for a while. He allowed the question to sink in. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated these questions two or three times. The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in appealed to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform them about such persons. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us, who are such people? Who are the people that you like the most from amongst us, and who are those who will be closest to you on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah? Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, those amongst you who possess the best moral character. Those amongst you who possess the best moral character. Allahu Akbar. This is in a compilation of a hadith of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh. Brothers, there it is. How much more can I emphasize and tell you how important it is for a Muslim to have a good moral character? And the education of such character is received from no other source than from Quran and from Sunnah, especially from the Sunnah, tariqah, the habits and the manners and the methods and the character of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's carry on looking some more. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, another hadith coming up, on the day of judgment, on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be nothing heavier in the favor of a Muslim than the goodness of character. Allah Ta'ala dislikes the obscene and the rude and impudent people. The bearer of good moral character attains the level of one who observes prayer and fasting, and this is on account of his high moral character. This hadith is also contained in the compilation of Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah Alayh. Let's look at it again. On the day of judgment, there will be nothing heavier, in other words, on the scales of justice. Nothing will weigh heavier on that day in favor of a Muslim than the goodness of his character or her character. Allah Ta'ala, says Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, dislikes obscene, rude, impudent, insulting people. The bearer of good moral character, that person who has looked after his character, educated his character in this world, in the mold and in the tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he attains to the level of one who observes fasting and who observes salah. And this is on account of high moral character. Because of his high moral character, this is the reward that he will receive on the day of judgment. It will weigh heavily his good habits, his good ways, emulating that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, will be such that his scale will weigh heavily with good deeds. Next hadith coming up. An Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala lam yakun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fahishan wala mutafahishan wa kana yaqulu inna min khiyarikum ahsanakum akhlaqan. Allahu Akbar, hukama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is contained in the two great books of our hadith known as Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Translation is as follows. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhum reported that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never uttered an obscene word in his whole life. Allahu Akbar ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A leading Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala, reported that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never uttered a single obscene word in his whole life, nor did he commit any obscene act. Brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that man who was observed 24 hours of the day. All the time he was observed. We know everything about him. We know about his outside life, we know about his inside life. We know the man in and out. His wives have told us everything about his personal life. And his companions have told us everything about his external life. Here is a man. And their Sahaba-i-Karam, not one, not two, more than 100,000 Sahaba-i-Karam, bear witness to this fact that in their whole life, no matter where they met him, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, he never uttered one single obscene word in his whole life. What example are we? Will our children, just our one family, only our family, just take our wife and our children. Leave our parents, leave everybody else. Just our one family, mother, father and children alone. Can our children say this about any of us that are seated here? Subhanallah, here it is. Isn't this somebody that we should try and emulate? Isn't this somebody that we should look up to and try to follow? Can we find anybody more purer than this, where you can find 100,000 witnesses to say Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not utter in his entire life one single obscene word, and not in his whole life did he commit one obscene act? Allahu Akbar. Says Hazrat Amr Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu, he says, nor did he ever talk ill of anybody. Allahu Akbar. He never spoke ill of anybody. He says, he reported also that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that the best of men were those whose manners were the finest, the best and the purest. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, and the Sahaba Ikram have recorded this, I've only taken one or two brothers because, I mean, it's impossible for me to give you all of it. What am I saying to you? I am saying how we can protect ourselves from shaitan. Those of us who have characters based on the example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can shaitan penetrate us? Brothers, we are rude the whole day, we say things, we talk, we backbite, we bear tales, everything we do wrong, how can we be protected from shaitan? Here is an example for us to follow, to protect ourselves. Shaitan cannot touch us if we are true followers and we are obedient to Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You tell me, is it not worthwhile following such a person? He reported also that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that the best of men, and the best amongst women, are those whose manners are the best, the purest, the finest. Allahu Akbar. Commentary, a good, strong, disciplined and well-educated moral character and will based on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leads to success in dunya and akhirah. Such a person gains the respect and the love of his people. He is honored and he is cherished for his lofty bearing and nobility of character. We Muslims enjoy the privilege of guidance and education in sunnah manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we confess to love, to cherish and to honor him above all else. But how few of our Muslims are living witnesses and bearers of such exemplary character and willpower. You tell me, all the kuffar, all non-Muslims ignore Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know that. You know the things the mud they sling against him. We have got Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, how much is it asking us to follow his example? Is it a lot? All I am saying, that whole conversation revolves around this one point, and that is, be true in following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaitan cannot harm you. And if he cannot harm you, he cannot harm your family. We ape and we emulate throughout our lives the kuffar. We cherish their evil ways and their evil customs. We follow their materialistic lifestyles. We lack the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our belief in akhirah is filled with doubt and uncertainties. When will we find the time to study the character and the will-building exercises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? As we move into darkness from light, our problems, our schisms, our divisions increase. You see it around you every day. We must build on Quran, we must build on Sunnah, we must build on Sharia if we wish to succeed. Otherwise, Shaitan will have free will and access to us and he will lead us all astray. Let us look at a few more ahadith. We have a little more time, let's continue. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a slave of Allah achieves, through the goodness and purity of his character, he achieves great position and high honor in the hereafter, even though he may be somewhat weak in matters of worship. If his character is an evil and a wicked one, however, then he will be thrown into the deepest holes of hell. Unquote. This hadith is from the kitab Tabrani, Mujam al-Sarir of Tabrani. Let's look at it quickly again. A slave of Allah Ta'ala, meaning we Muslims, he achieves through the goodness of his character, through his great position, he achieves through the goodness of his character. What does he achieve? Great position and high honor in the hereafter, even though he may be somewhat weak in matters of worship. Alright? If his character, he may have all the amal, he may have the amal, but if his character is an evil and a wicked one, then he will be thrown into the deepest dungeons, deepest holes of Jahannam. Next hadith. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I quote, if a Muslim is moderate in his worship, but has moral character and decent bearing, then he attains to the position of one who observes fast and who recites Quran during prayers in the night. Tahajjud Salah. If a person is moderate in his worship, in other words, he carries out the bare essentials of his deen. Alright? But he has got an outstanding moral character. And he is a decent person. nothing immoral about him. Says Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then such a person will attain to the position of one who observes fast and who recites Quran in the night prayers. Like one who is making tahajjud. So important it is, therefore I emphasize that we should form our characters according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hadith is contained in the compilation of hadith of Imam Ahmad. Next hadith, our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a mu'min's nobility is to be found in his religiousness. His tolerance is to be found in his intelligence. And his lineage is to be found in the goodness of his character. Subhanallah. Listen to this hadith. Because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says too many things, voluminous things in his ahadith, in his sayings. A mu'min's nobility is to be found in his religiousness. In other words, in his piety. His nobility is not rank, that he is of such and such a family, a millionaire family or a billionaire family. That is not where the nobility of a Muslim lies. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a mu'min's nobility is to be found in his religiousness, in his piety. His tolerance, sabr, patience, bear forbearing. His tolerance is to be found in his intelligence. If he's an intelligent Muslim, you will find it in the way he can tolerate things. And says Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his lineage, not that family, such and such a clan, or such and such a tribe, or such and such a nation, no. Lineage, his lineage lies, is to be found in the goodness of his character, in the purity of his character, of his akhlaq. This hadith is in Hakim. Next hadith coming up, an Mu'adhin, قَالَ كَانَ آخِرَ مَا وَصَّانِ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هِنَا وَضَعْتُ رِجْلِي فِي الْغَرْضِ أَنْ قَالَ يَا مُعَاذ أَحْسِنْ خُلُقَكَ لِلنَّاسِ مُؤَتَّى إِمَام مَالِك. This hadith is extracted from مُؤَتَّى إِمَام مَالِك, compilation of hadith of Imam Malik رَحْمَتُ عليه. And this is what he says. Hazrat Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhum reported that the last advice to him, which the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to him at the time when he mounted his horse to depart for the Yemen, where he was appointed by Rasulullah as the governor, as the Muslim governor of that territory, the last advice of the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him as he mounted his horse about to leave, greet the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and leave, the last words Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi spoke to him, very significant, were the following. O Mu'az, maintain the highest moral character in dealing with the people. You're going to Yemen. Take this advice, O Mu'az. Maintain the highest moral profile, moral character in dealing with the people. Allahu Akbar, brothers, what has our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not left us? What wealth, what advice? And then of course, if you want to know what moral character, that is to be judged. Hundreds of hadiths of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's character. And we must educate ourselves in that. Next hadith coming up. قَالَ أَرْبَعٌ إِذَا كُنَّ فِيكَ فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَعْتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا حِفْظُ أَمَانَةٍ وَصِدْقُ حَدِيثٍ وَحُسْنُ خَلِيكَةٍ وَإِفَّةٍ فِي تُعْمَةٍ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith is in Mishkat al-Masabih, and the translation is as follows. Our Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if a person possesses the following four sticks, then he will not be deprived of anything in this world, and nothing will harm him. Allahu Akbar. Very important, brothers, follow this. If a person possesses the following four characteristics, if he educates himself and trains himself through practice in these four characteristics, then what will happen? He will not be deprived of anything in this world, and nothing will be able to harm him, including shaitan. And what are those four? These way. Firstly, taking absolute care of things placed in trust, amana. Anything placed in trust, whether it is money, whether it is goods, whatever. Taking absolute care of things placed in one's trust. Number two, absolute trustfulness in all matters, always speaking the truth, always saying the truth, come what may. Absolute truthfulness in all matters, with regard to all matters. Number three, displaying the best in manners and in character at all times. Always displaying the best moral character and manners. And fourthly, an earning, subhanallah, for all of us, an earning an honest piece of bread. An earning an honest living. Everything that you earn must be halal, must be tayyib. Next hadith coming up. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tattakhizu dhay'ata fatarghabu fi dunya. Allahu Akbar. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tattakhizu dhay'ata fatarghabu fi dunya. This hadith is in Tirmidhi and in Mishkatul Masabi. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not acquire properties and possessions. I will put it this way, do not acquire wealth. Right? The actual translation will be, do not acquire properties and possessions so that all your attention and devotion in the world becomes focused on them. Subhanallah. Then you rather not have all that. If you can have properties and possessions and investments and wealth without focusing all your attention on them, it is there to help as many people as you can, to do as much good as you can, no problem. But look at the warning of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not, O Muslims, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice is, do not acquire property and possessions, do not acquire wealth, so that all your attention and devotion in the world becomes focused on them. Remember what I did in the summary? I spoke at length on this particular point. I have in my summary, commentary, I have in my summary already explained how destructive and devastating to character and personality material encounter, material ambitions and material greed becomes. How such an all-consuming and hateful enterprise which discounts Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've used this because mostly our business community that does this. Alright? Not all, but many of them. Alright? They discount Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from their business enterprises. In their gathering of wealth and accumulation and lusting for materialism, they discount Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is it. 90% discount they offer on that. 10% is left. Right? And then this allows for shaitan to influence character and will and to become totally blind to the realities of life. Next hadith coming up. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Aliyin. Ya Ali, la tutbi'i nazrata nazara, fa innama lakal ula, wa laysat lakal akhirah. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is in Abu Dawud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala as follows. He said, O Ali, if you see a woman inadvertently, meaning accidentally, turn your eyes away from her. Do not look at her again. The first look is yours. In other words, it is accidental. But the second look is not yours. In brackets I have put, and the second look is not yours, but shaitan's. Right? Here again I have explained at length in the summary the destruction caused by shaitan to Muslim family life by permissivity and promiscuous indulgences. Man looks at woman and you know what happens. I have added in the summary, and I emphasize this again, though we are all male sitting here and I'm teaching you, I'm using the male gender. This applies equally, particularly in our times, to the female as well. It is not only the man that is looking at strange woman, it is strange woman looking at strange man. And the amount of problems and trouble this is causing, Allahu Akbar, that phone of mine doesn't stop ringing until midnight. I get tired sometimes, I don't know what to do, and the conversations always, even in these times of high accounts coming in, it's always 10-15 minutes that goes away. And sometimes I'm tired and sleepy, I have to get up for my sleep and sit there. And the problems, brothers, of this particularly this one, that 1400 years ago Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has laid down the rule. Quran in Surah Nur, 24th Surah of the Quran, has expressly stated, you are not, Allah says, I do not grant you permission to look at woman. Strange men at strange woman, or vice versa. Allah Ta'ala says it. Allah Ta'ala commands it. Who are we? His creatures, who are we? Created by Him, given life by Him, He can take it away at any time. We live here to obey the commandments of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this thousands of Muslim families have become disrupted and divided as a result. And millions of our children have gone astray. Allahu Akbar, let's follow. We have only a few minutes left. 5 minutes, all right, brothers. All right, I'm almost done. Let me go through this quickly. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة نمام نمام لا يدخل الجنة نمام says the Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith is contained in Bukhari and in Muslim. Our Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a talebearer will not enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. A talebearer, he will not enter Jannah. Shaitan uses such people to create havoc with the lives of others. Shaitan seduces them with false suggestions, false advice, and then he creates hatred and enmity, all due to lies and deceit. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, in a majlis, another hadith coming up. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, do you know what is backbiting? He asked the Sahabas, do you know what is backbiting? The Sahabas replied, Allah and His Rasul know best. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother saying things which he does not like. The Sahabas asked, but what happens if what is said happens to be the truth? Will it still be backbiting? Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if it happens to be the truth, then it will be backbiting. But if it is short of truth, in other words, if it is an untruth, if it is lies, then it will be calumny. Calumny is worse than backbiting. It is the worst form of backbiting. This hadith is in Mishkat. Next hadith, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna al-ghadaba min ash-shaytan, wa inna ash-shaytana khulika min an-nar, wa innama tadfa'u an-nar bil-ma' fa'iza ghadiba ahadukum falyatawadda'. Subhanallah. This hadith is in Abu Dawood. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, anger is due to the influence of shaitan, is due to the waswas of shaitan. And indeed, shaitan is created from fire, and water extinguishes fire. Therefore, whenever any of you become angry, resort to performing ablution, perform wudu. Remember I said this in the summary? Perform wudu. This is what leads to greatest chaos in Muslim family life. This anger. All the talaqs come from it. All the problems come from this anger. So what, here's the advice of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the summary, I have clearly stated the damages and danger of anger, intolerance, impatience, resentment, temper and indignation. Shaitan increases it and then takes control of the person's mind and body and encourages sin and evil. Next hadith, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah fa huwa fi nafsihi saghirun wa fi a'yunin nasi azimun. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَدَعَهُ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ فِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ صَغِيرٌ وَفِي نَفْسِهِ كَبِيرٌ حَتَّى لَحْوَ أَحْوَنُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كَلْبٍ وَخِنْزِيرٍ. This is in Mishkat. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who humbles himself before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will exalt him as he considers himself humble and simple before Allah, and he will be raised in the estimation of the people. As for the one who is proud and arrogant, instead of being humble and simple, such a one will be reduced in the eyes of the people, although he considers himself great, until he comes to be regarded by people as lower than pigs and dogs. This statement concludes the section on the meeting between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Shaitan, and it is my fervent prayer and wish that Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to follow the sunnah teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to our character management. The peoples of Islam can rise to great heights through elevated character and discipline, dedication and devotion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and help us at all times. Ameen. Jazakumullah. قوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, our sustainer, Allah. Allahu wahdahu la sharika la, Allahu is one, and Allahu had no partner. And we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah Ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lesson today is Shaitan's plan for man. That is the series. And we are today considering the following aspects in our subject. The plan that Shaitan has for man in this world, in this universe, on planet Earth. Today is the 28th of Dhul-Hijjah of the year 1412 after the Hijrah, and this is equivalent to the 26th of June 1992. And 28th of June. Is it 28th of Dhul-Hijjah? And 28th of June, my brothers, 1992. And within the next few days, we will enter the new Islamic year of 1413 after the Hijrah. Now, brothers, you are aware, and you may have read in the newspapers also, that there will, for after many, many years, be a total eclipse on Tuesday. Now, some brothers have asked me whether this means anything. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, several eclipses did appear, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear to the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain that eclipse does not mean anything in particular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows what eclipses mean, but we should not take an eclipse to mean ill luck, bad fortune, disasters, destruction for mankind, or any such occurrence. It would be ill-advised of us to understand through an eclipse any kind of disaster falling humanity. Many eclipses have appeared in the past, but it is rare for a total eclipse to occur when the moon and the sun and earth are in one line altogether. So whereas the moon comes up, it blots out the sun completely, and we do not see it at all eventually. I believe that on Tuesday this starts off and will continue for overall for about 6 hours during the day, and around about 4:30 it will clear up eventually, when we will be able to see the sun completely again. So starting off around about 8:00, I believe the sun will become a quarter, and then eventually a half towards Zuhr, and then it will become three quarters. I believe the sun will be 90% covered from Cape Town. We will be able to see 90% of the sun being blotted out by the moon. But elsewhere, the sun will be 100% blotted out. So we have also been warned by the astronomers that not to look at the sun, not to try to look at the sun. This can harm the eye very, very badly. It can injure it. So therefore, let us not try to look at the sun due to the harm. But what I am saying here is, although there will be on Tuesday an eclipse, a solar eclipse, we should not read anything into it. Also, we say that means this is the last lesson for this year. According to the Islamic year, this lesson we are having in this masjid, after having performed Salatul Asr with Jama'ah, this is the last lesson for the year 1412 after the Hijrah. During the Ramadan of this year, we did the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Rahma alayhi salam, as well as the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam and his son Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. In both these stories, we look particularly at the role of Shaitan in trying to deceive these noble messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, in the last week, which was actually earlier in the year, in the last week of Ramadan, we commenced with the story of the meeting of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Shaitan, and the conversation which thereafter ensued between the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitan in Jannatul Baqi, which is the graveyard of Madinah Munawwara. That story brought us through Shawwal, Zilqa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah of the year 1412 after the Hijrah. We begin this week to wrap up this chapter in our series on Shaitan's plan for man, wherein we dealt with numerous stories of Shaitan's attempts to mislead and to misdirect the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the peoples, the followers of these various prophets. Shaitan successively failed to achieve victory over the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he did achieve enormous success with the followers of these various prophets that we have dealt with. There are a few more enlightening stories about the devious schemes and plans and methods of Shaitan, which I wish to recount before beginning with a new chapter in our series on Shaitan's plan for man. These are short stories that are now to follow out of various prophets. Many of them we have dealt with, and some of them we have not yet dealt with. But we will do these stories, and this week I will do some of them, next week the others, and then we will look at some of the ways in which Shaitan tried to interfere with the plans of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then that will conclude this section. Story number one is a meeting between the Nabi between Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Shaitan. And this story goes as follows. There are two parts to this story. Shaitan met Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam on several occasions. But the story I'm telling you is one occasion. A story which I will tell you a little later is the second story. I have chosen to tell you two stories out of this particular meeting of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Shaitan. And this one is the narrator of the story I'm going to tell you first is Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu has recorded from a tradition that Shaitan once came into a majlis, which means into a gathering of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Shaitan was disguised as a man, as a human being, as a man. Shaitan had on his head a very colorful hat. As he approached Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he took off his hat and he bowed low in greeting Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, "And who may you be?" Not recognizing who he was, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, "And who may you be?" And Shaitan replied, "I am Iblis." Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately responded as follows. He said, "May Allah Ta'ala destroy you. Why have you come here? What do you seek from me?" Shaitan replied, "I have come here to greet you, for you are a man of great worth and great excellence, of great rank and great honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." In other words, I have written here in brackets, Shaitan came to pay his dues and his respects to a beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, for Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a highly ranked prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Shaitan, "What was that you had on your head a moment ago? What did you have on your head when you came to greet me and you bowed down and you greeted me? You had something on your head which you removed, this particular hat that you had on. What did you have in your head a moment ago?" And Shaitan replied as follows. He said, "Through this hat, through its attractions, I attract, I entice, I allure, and I charm the children of Adam. Through this hat, this colorful, twinkling, glittering, glamorous hat that I use this to tempt, to entice, to seduce the children of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. I excite desire in people, and I fascinate them, and I tantalize them with its colors, with its temptations." Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then asked Shaitan, "Tell me, you cursed one, through which particular attraction and seduction do you manage to gain control over people?" The impudent Shaitan replied as follows. He said, "This happens when a person begins to regard himself as being better and superior to other people's, when he thinks very highly of his deeds, and when he becomes too full of himself, thus forgetting what he is." Got the picture? This is the reply. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I said, I've chosen two stories. These are in every interview, in every conversation, in every meeting between a Nabi, a Rasul of Allah, and Shaitan, there is some valuable lesson for us to learn. Here Shaitan says that in this hat, this glamour, remember this is all symbolic examples, alright? Shaitan adopts a human shape and he adopts for the hat and the methods and the tricks and the schemes that he uses, it is symbolized in this particular glittering hat with which he comes to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We do not see Shaitan. The Anbiyas do not see Shaitan. So Shaitan adopts this shape, this posture, and he comes and he approaches and he reveals to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the methods that he employs in order to mislead people, to waswas people. So that is symbolized in this hat and the colorful attractions, attractive colors that this hat has. But it is only symbolic. And this is his reply. And we learn from this reply the weakness that is in man, which Shaitan uses in order to deceive him. This happens, says Shaitan, replying to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the particular method which I use to gain control of the minds of people and the hearts of people. To gain control of people, this is the key. What is that key? This happens when a person begins to regard himself as being better and superior to other peoples. Even if a person has got knowledge, even if he has got wealth, even if he has got rank, and status, position, doesn't matter what. There is no haq and no right of one Muslim to think himself and consider himself as being better and superior than other peoples. Never. There is no reason ever, no matter what stage he's reached. People may respect you and honor you, that is something else. But you yourself never consider yourself to be superior than other peoples. So that is one, says Shaitan. When a person begins to think very highly of his deeds, here is a person who does good deeds. A rich man may give a lot of sadaqah, he may give a lot of zakat, he may do a lot of charitable deeds. Now to brag and boast about those deeds and to hold it over the head of others. Hold it over the head of others, that is ill-advised. It is a way that Shaitan uses, puts into the mind of people in order to break them down, in order to mislead them and to deceive them. And Shaitan says, and the person becomes too full of himself, thus forgetting what he is. What are you? What are we? You tell me. What are we to boast about? I sometimes use this when speaking to people who have a lot of pride in them. I tell you, man, what do you have that every time you have to go, if you are najis and unclean, you have to go and make wuzu and ghusl. You have to cleanse and purify yourself. What status, what rank do you have? You are as low as anybody else. So there is no reason. Look at the muck and the dirt that you carry around you. That blood is najis that is within you, that if you get a wound or cut and the blood flows out, your wudu is broken, your abdas is gone. So what is there that you have that you can boast about when you carry around najis with you? We go to toilet. How much muck and dirt do we carry around in our stomachs and in our bodies all the time? If we urinate, the urine gathers within a sac, within the stomach, within this body, and we carry it around until the need arises. And when the need arises, we could anything, a quarter liter, half a liter to 1 liter of urine we throw out of this body. So what is there that we have to be proud about? If it was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rules and conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, what is there that we have to be proud of? We are but the servants and the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our purity and our goodness lies in piety and nothing else. So this is what Shaitan says, and I have written at the end, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, meaning may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from such false considerations. Ameen. The commentary of this story, that is concludes this first part of the story. Commentary is as follows, Shaitan reveals his evil formula to lead people astray. How many people are susceptible to this inducement from Shaitan to be proud, to feel themselves to be superior? How many suffer from superiority complexes and adopt a holier-than-thou attitude towards others? How many boast about their deeds and their actions? They want the whole world to know about their good deeds. They advertise and they publicize. They seek attention from others. How many are so full of themselves that they completely disregard other people's? Shaitan knows that men hardly ever learn from the past, that men are very lazy, reluctant, and ignorant. Knowing this, Shaitan preys on people's weaknesses, and through pride and ego and arrogance, He raises them to non-existent heights, and then He drops them down extremely hard. He fills them with false illusions of grandeur, and then He dumps them. Yet people fail to learn. Why should we Muslims be equally blind? Look at the life and example of the final holy messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything in this world, and it would have been granted to him, and I have no doubt when I say this. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have only raised his hands and made any dua for the luxuries and the comforts of this world. I guarantee you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have granted it to him. And I have no doubt when I say this, without a doubt. Listen to the following hadith of the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I quote it to you. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَرَضَ عَلَيَّ رَبِّي لِيَجْعَلَ لِي بَتَهَاءَ مَكَّةَ ذَهَبًا فَقُولْتُ لَا يَا رَبِّي فَقُولْتُ لَا يَا رَبِّي وَلَكِنْ أَشْبَعُ يَوْمًا وَعَجُوعُ يَوْمًا فَإِذَا جِعْتُ تَدَرَّعْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَذَكَرْتُكَ وَإِذَا شَبِعْتُ حَمِدْتُكَ وَشَكَرْتُكَ. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith is taken from Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and it is also in the hadith kitab of Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayh. Translated, it is as follows. Our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my sustainer, my Rabb, my Allah offered to fill this whole valley of Makkah for me with gold. Subhanallah, listen to what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revelation and inspiration, that, oh my beloved Rasul, this whole valley of Makkah, I can fill for you with gold. Brothers, you have been to Makkah, those of you, I mean, you know how big that valley is. Imagine that. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have definitely fulfilled the wish of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had he so wished, that whole valley of Makkah would have been filled with gold, more gold than to be found anywhere else in the world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my Rabb, my creator, my sustainer offered to fill the whole valley of Makkah with gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I pleaded with Allah, no, O my Rabb, O my sustainer, this is not what I desire, this is not what I wish for, but rather that I remain hungry one day and have something to eat the next day. Ya Allah, this gold and all the things that glitter, O Allah, this is not what I want, but rather that I should remain hungry one day and that I say I should have something to eat the next day. This is what I would prefer. The day I am hungry, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day I am hungry, I will be able to show my humility. And I will remember you much, O Allah. And the day I am able to eat, I will praise you much, O Allah, and I will thank you much, O Allah. Subhanallah. Listen to this beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers. Every hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his words are so full of meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the Anbiya's receive from time to time some offers. You remember, we've heard this as children, that in Taif, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Malaikas came to, he was hurt, he was wounded, he was bleeding, and he was walking, and he was passing between two hills that stand in Taif, and the angels of the mountains came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Malaikas of the mountains that control the mountains came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has sent us to you, and it is but for you to ask, and then if you so wish and make dua, then these two mountains will crush the people of Taif that have tortured you and that have tormented you. We will destroy them all. Brothers, give us attention. As soon as they come in, we will. Alright, so as if you so desire and you make dua, Ya Rasulullah, we will crush all the people of Taif that have tormented you. And what happened? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, but it is my desire, it is not my desire to seek vengeance on these people, but that we give them time. Inshallah, if these people have not accepted the deen, then inshallah, their children, their children's children, the future generations will accept. Islam. And so that chapter closed. Here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pave the whole valley. Not to pave it, but to fill that whole valley of Makkah with gold. And what does Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not my wish that the whole valley be filled with gold, but it is my wish that I be hungry one day and I have food to eat the next day. If I am hungry, here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since I am hungry one day, I will be humble, I will show my humble and my dependence upon you, and the day I have food, says, that day I will remember you much, I will make your shukr, and I will praise you, O Allah, and I will thank you, O Allah. So brothers, you see the advantage in this. Inshallah, after a while we'll carry on again. Jazakumullah.